Well, greetings, Cap fans, and welcome to another episode of the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast. This is episode 183, and I am your host, Rick Verbanis. And as always, I am joined by the best gosh darn co-host out there. That's one Mr. Bobbert Lucius. Oh, Bob. Here comes the man with the look in his eye. He's fed on nothing but full of pride. Look at them go. Look at them kick. Makes you wonder how the other half lives.
Nice, nice. Oh my gosh. Now I lost it.
Devil inside.
Was it in excess?
Devil inside. Every single one of us, the devil inside.
Yeah. Chris Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What year was that?
Oh my goodness. Was it contiguous with this book? I don't know.
It came out 2 years before this book. It's 1988.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. But Bob, why am I doing Devil Inside with you?
Well, because we are reviewing our fourth issue of Streets of Poison, and it features Daredevil.
Yes, yes, we are. This is Captain America 375, which is, as you said, part four of the Streets of Poison. So can't wait to get in with that to you today. But I thought the lyrics, not just the devil inside, but I thought the lyrics were actually apropos, right? He's got a look in his eye. Here comes the man with a look in his eye.
Yeah.
Maybe a little crazed look, maybe?
A little crazed, a little John Walker.
Full of pride.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He definitely comes across a little prideful in this. And look at them go. Look at them kick. Right?
Yeah.
So I thought it was like the perfect opening for you today.
Nice.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing all right, Rick. I'm doing all right. It's a busy week as always. You know, we're careening toward the end of semester and the end of season down here in Florida. That's what we call it. Season goes from January 1st until really end of April, beginning of May. And you know when the end of season is coming because you see all of the car transport trucks parked on the side of the road and folks loading up their cars to take them back up to their northern homes.
Oh,
yeah. So
okay.
That's how you know the end of season is approaching because folks start getting out of town.
I gotcha. Because it gets a little too warm.
It does get a little too warm for folks. And you're just anticipating spring has sprung now up north and things will start warming up. May flowers, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, they're starting to migrate.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Now, do you look down on those people, the seasonal people? Do you kind of look at them like, you're not locals like the rest of us?
No, I don't. You know, I've lived in so many places, and it's funny because a lot of people do complain down here, and I don't think there's been any.
Well, a lot of people complain in Florida. Yes, Bob.
Yes,
that's actually historically, and you know, we see that in the news.
Right, going all the way back to the Civil War, but everywhere I've ever lived, people have acted the exact same way. They've had the exact same complaints that like, oh, my family's been here for one generation, two generations, three generations, whatever. All these newcomers coming down here and, you know, buying up and developing and clogging the, you know, it's the same everywhere, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
But the reality is we need all that revenue that comes from folks who come down here and spend the season in our restaurants and on our beaches and tourist attractions and grocery stores. And we couldn't do it without them. That's why Florida doesn't have a state income tax. We can have the quality of life in a lot of the communities that we enjoy. It's because of people who come down here and spend their hard-earned cash from someplace else and they bring it down here and spend
right.
it. So I love it. You know, obviously we have a very hard time getting into restaurants during season. They're booked solid, but that day's coming in April and May when like you can just roll in, you know, in your pajamas and, at 5 o'clock and say, I need a table and you get a table. So you just got to be a little patient.
Yeah, sure. Now, yeah, you're 100% right. I realize that every place is the same. When I moved, because I was born and raised in Delaware, I go to University of Alabama, then I moved to Atlanta, and I realized everywhere you go, there's a hierarchy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, and this is a joke I have said for years, that I learned. This is the joke I came up with and because of what I learned while living in Alabama and living in Atlanta. And I would say the biggest comeback to any put down in Georgia is, well, at least I'm not from Mississippi. Well, actually, let me start over. I got that wrong.
I still like it.
No, let me start. So the biggest comeback to any put down in Georgia is, well, at least I'm not from Alabama. In Alabama, the biggest, you know, the comeback to any put down is, well, at least I'm not from Mississippi. People in Mississippi go, well, at least I'm not from Louisiana. And people in Louisiana go, you got me. Now I said that joke to somebody from Louisiana and they say, that's not true. We say, well, at least we're not from Arkansas. And then I said that joke to somebody from Arkansas and they said to me, well, what we say is at least we're not from West Virginia.
And
so,
on.
So there's a hierarchy wherever you are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah. Mm. What's going on in your neck of the woods, your neck of the hierarchy?
So a little sad today, Bob. So we sold my mom's townhome today.
Oh my goodness.
Or recently or whatever. Yeah. So, you know, it's an end of an era.
Sure.
You know, she had that for 20 some years. Yeah. And so it wasn't the place that I grew up in.
Right.
But, you know, it was the last place my mom lived before she went into assisted living. And, you know, my kids, this was Nana's place, you know?
Right.
And
yeah.
So yeah, it's a little bittersweet, you know, seeing it go, but, I'm glad some other people can use the place, you know?
Right. Right. Well, I completely get that. So, I mean, those transition points are difficult. You know, they're necessary, they're practical, but yeah, difficult.
Yeah.
So, I actually had a similar sort of, not exactly the same, similar sort of, experience, last weekend. I met with my brother. You know, I have three brothers, three older
brothers.
Right. The middle of the three of them is my brother Paul.
Mm-hmm.
He lives up in Vermont, and he drove down to a trade expo in Orlando.
Orlando, right?
Yeah, and it's a pet food expo, you know, pet supplies. Because he runs a couple stores. One of them is a consignment store, but one of them is a pet food store and like a mom and pop place and a grooming studio. And so he's in the biz, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he drives down here. And, but you know, my dad passed, back in January and they're cleaning out the house. And there were a number of things that my sisters, thought that I would want.
Mm.
And so he loaded them in the car, and drove them down. And, we met, halfway between Tampa and where I live down here in Naples, so a couple hours from here. So we met on Saturday morning, for breakfast. My wife and I, my brother Paul, who I haven't seen since my dad passed, and he gave me all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
Which was in itself bittersweet. Mm-hmm. One of them was, I don't know if you can see it. See that right back there?
I see the framed painting or picture. Yeah,
it's a huge picture of me.
Are you in military dress uniform?
When I was a second lieutenant, I had that photo taken and my parents blew it up and it's been hanging on. It was hanging on their living room wall.
And your siblings didn't want to keep it for themselves.
I don't understand that in the least. I've offered to hang it in my son's bedroom, but he has demurred as well. But anyway, you know, a bunch of stuff like that. Very sentimental. But what was really sentimental is he was driving my dad's car. You know, which is like a Toyota Avalon. And we all said, just take the car. You need a car, take the car. And so he has one of those little red, you know, those little tiny, tiny, like vans. You ever see those? They're like Toyotas or something like that. They're like minivans.
Okay.
but they're for like moving, like businesses use them to like move cargo around and stuff. Okay. He has one of those, a bright red one. Looks like a clown vehicle.
He's really popular around schoolyards.
Right. Yeah. So I expected him to drive that down, but he drove my dad's car. And it was just really kind of special to see my dad's car like that one last time, you know. So again, you know, one of those transition points where, you know, life just keeps going on and you make the best of it and remember the good times and deal with the bad ones.
That's right. That's right. And so nothing like a transition now to move and talking about comic books, right? So, you know, we got a lot going on in the Facebook group, Bob. You know, today is, if you're listening on the day when this comes out, this is April 10th. And this is a big day in our Cap Madness bracket, because this kicks off the Sweet 16. This is round two. So we had the first round, which was seeds 1 through 16 versus seeds 32 through 17. And, you know, we have 16 winners of that first round. They're now going to compete. So today it's Jack Kirby versus, I don't know who it is. And so that's really exciting. You know, it's always tough whoever's going up against Jack Kirby. But
yeah.
We'll see if so-and-so can do that today you know, see what kind of luck they have. So if you haven't been on the Facebook page, do check it out. It's a great page. It's a lot of fun. Just go on there. Captain America Facebook group. Go on Facebook groups and do a search for Captain America. Actually, I take that back. You got to do Cap Comic Fans. We shortened it to just Cap Comic Fans.
Yeah.
And then it's a private group. So just, you know, answer the questions and join the group. And then you can vote to your heart's content, because every day is a new poll up for favorite Captain America artists. And you get to vote you have 24 hours. And then we move on to the next one.
Yeah. And as you pointed out before, I mean, this is a preference poll, right?
Yeah. Favorite, best.
Right. Exactly. Right. And so that's what makes it, I think, harder. I mean, sometimes I struggle with these. Right. And, you know, even with, I mean, I 100% respect, admire everything that Kirby has, Jack Kirby has done for the community, for the character, right? But even that first vote, right, going up against Carmen Canero, you know, weeks ago, that's a tough one, because
very talented artist.
Very talented. And I just, I get immersed in her art and I enjoy it. And it thrills me in certain ways. And so it makes it really, really tough when you approach it from the, okay, I don't owe any special debt of gratitude or reverence to anybody. This is just about what I like.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. It can be a hard choice sometimes.
Yeah. And I like the comments. You know, people, they post images, you know, favorite images by that artist. And they put comments. And one of the comments about Carmen Canero was, you know, Carmen can do the best of both worlds. It can do amazing action scenes, but also as Captain America, and then also as Steve Rogers, you can show tender scenes where he's a loving person who, you know, is helping a small child or whatever. And it was absolutely, you know, 100%. So, but no right or wrong answers.
Right.
Again, this is personal preference, but it's fun. It's fun voting and seeing people campaign for their favorites.
Indeed. Yeah. We gotta have more fun in this world.
Exactly. Other thing too, speaking of fun, we have gotten some comments, Bob, in the YouTube channel. And I thought it'd be fun to read some of these. These are from people who have been basically longtime listeners of the podcast. And so here, just some of the comments that have been made. This one is by, I think it's Michael C. Johnson. And he writes, been listening to the podcast for 2 years, and this is an option will be something that caused me to get the show twice as I listen to the podcast while working. So, interesting. So he's going to listen to it and then watch us two goofballs afterwards. Right. So, you know, and that's, you know, Bob, I don't know if you've checked out any of the YouTube videos, but I actually do put in a lot of work by putting in some images and graphics and things like that that you don't get from just listening. And plus you get to see, you know, my goofy reaction to some of your comments. Walter Cahill writes, the Facebook group is fantastic, all caps. Always learning stuff about Cap and seeing the cool books and stuff that members are buying and obtaining. I listen to the podcast every Wednesday, but now I have a dilemma. Do I listen to the podcast or watch the YouTube show? Decisions, decisions. And then here's another one. This one is user JX7, blah, 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 a bunch of things. But I think I know who it is. This one says, folks, if you're first being introduced to Rick and Bob, you're in for a treat. I can't wait to go to work every Wednesday morning since I get to listen to their dulcet tones while traveling the highways and byways to educate the youth of America. Please go back and listen to the episodes that aren't here on YouTube for the most insightful looks into Captain America, a great Marvel hero. So wow. Those are just some of the comments.
Yeah, that's all. I'm glad nobody has mentioned my fat bottom face.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you about that? My
give it time.
My wife accuses me of having a fat bottom face, and now my son has picked up on that. And yeah. So
I keep waiting for you to go giggity giggity.
I don't know what that is, but I like it.
look up Family Guy.
Uh-huh.
Oh. You ever watch Family Guy?
Yeah, okay.
You know the neighbor?
Yeah, yeah.
The guy who's like a total perv.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Thanks, yeah.
Yeah. Giggity, giggity.
I was going more of a Don Corleone, but yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Pick what you like. All right. I think that's everything that I wanted to cover today, Bob. I guess we can go ahead and get into today's episode. You think we should do that?
Sure. Why not? That's why we're here.
Okie doke. All right. So as I mentioned before, this is Captain America 375. And I'm going to go ahead, Bob, and I'm going to read the solicitation. Captain America, Public Enemy, guest starring Daredevil, plus Battlestar versus the Power Tools. And I should probably mention that we're not doing the backup stories. These bi-weekly comics, you know, this is during the summertime. It's coming out every 2 weeks as opposed to monthly. And one of the ways they can do that, still use the same creative team, is by making it shorter stories. And then they do a backup story. But we're not getting into the backup story. We're strictly covering Streets of Poison. So Bob, do you, you want to take us through this cover?
No, I do, Rick. You know, I do. So, it's a really pretty cool cover. I think you would agree with me, Rick, here. What we're seeing is, we're seeing an action scene, in the background. It looks to be either sunset or sunrise. I tend to think it's sunrise here. So we see the sun starting to peak up over the horizon. We see golden rays filling up three quarters of that cover space. And then in the foreground, we see two of our heroes. We see Captain America and we see Daredevil, and they appear to be in a schoolyard playground. So we see a slide. We see some, one of those monkey bars, a swing background.
We see your brother's van.
My brother's van, right? And Daredevil's in the foreground, and he's got his profile toward us. So he's sort of leaning toward us from the waist up, and you can see him looking off over toward his left side. In his right hand, he's got one of his billy clubs, and he seems a bit surprised, almost even shocked. And I would be too, because coming at him as if leaping through the air, we see Captain America with his right hand reaching out for Daredevil, and in his left hand his shield is held high, and he's got a look of pure anger, you know, like
rage.
He looks like John Walker on this cover, for crying out loud.
He's got that shield cocked, ready to go,
and he's ready to go, right? And Daredevil, because he's almost frozen just for a second at this sight, because for him it's got to be probably the last thing that he would expect to see, Cap coming after him in this fashion.
Well, he won't expect to see anything. He's blind.
Good point, Richard. You are always on. So, and it says, Rick, what does it say? It says Cap goes wild. And then in
now, small... Oh, go ahead. Finish. Oh,
and in small print down below, and Daredevil is not happy about it.
Yeah. Now, when you read Cap goes wild, what's the first thing that goes in your head?
Girls got wild.
Yeah, exactly. We are totally like.
Was that forever. About this time?
No. I actually looked it up because I wanted to see this. Yeah. This came out in 1990, and Girls Gone Wild came out in 1997.
Okay, all right.
Right.
Yeah.
So no, this has nothing to do with that. But I'm gonna take a pause here from this cover. Cap Goes Wild should ring a bell with most longtime Captain America fans because mm-hmm. that is the cover to Captain America 106 by Indeed. Jack Kirby. And what does it say, Bob?
Cap goes wild.
Yep. So this is not something that is new to Cap fans.
Spring Break edition.
Yeah, right. yeah, so and you can get this for $1. Up in the top corner, you've got the Kieran Dwyer Captain America running, but he's a smiling Cap, which I like. And it's got that my favorite Marvel Comics logo, right? It says Marvel with the big M, the little comics in cursive over top of it. And for our young listeners out there, cursive is a way of writing that keeps the pen to the paper. And you don't have to lift it to print. And then above the Captain America logo is a Streets of Poison trade dress to make this stand out that it's part of an ongoing story. And then Poison has that big splatter behind it because it's dangerous. It's poisonous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that band, Rick? Poison? Remember them?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure I've done an opening to you with Poison, right?
I've heard several songs this week from Poison on my Sirius XM radio. So
why?
I don't know if it's a synchronicity or something. I don't know. I must have been on the 80s or something. Maybe late 80s.
Well, you were on the Hairband channel?
The Hairband channel.
They have that, you know.
Do they? I wasn't aware of that. Okay.
Yeah. Speaking of bands, NXS. This is cool. So I have a NXS concert t-shirt back from like late 80s, maybe 1990. I never went. My sister went to the concert and she got me the t-shirt and I guess it didn't fit her or whatever. So she gave it to me, or maybe she was just being nice. I don't know, but it's a gray t-shirt and has the NXS logo and has like silhouettes of the guys standing there and then has the tour information on the back. And I can actually, you know, still fit into it, right? Which is, not well these last few months, but I can still fit into it.
Right.
But here's the thing. I don't have it anymore. You know why?
Why?
My son took it.
Yeah.
He loves wearing it.
I bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's, vintage.
Hell yeah. Yeah, he's wearing an old NXS concert t-shirt.
Good for him. Do you remember, right. I don't know if you remember this. Probably not. You probably didn't. It was a reality show. It must have been mid-2000s, where it was a reality show to find a new lead singer for NXS.
I do not remember that at all.
Yeah. And I remember I was living in Vietnam at the time. And I don't know how we used to catch it, but it must have been on one of the international channels that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have a CD from one of the singers who competed on that show. It was like Casey and the Love Hammers or something. He was actually pretty good. He did some good stuff. But yeah, I do remember that. They had a whole reality show, a whole season to find the lead singer.
Did you just say Casey and the Love Hammers?
That's what it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that Casey's nickname for you?
that's personal.
Okay. All right. So getting back to the cover, Bob, this is by Ron Lim and Danny Belande. And, this had a cover date of August 1990, but it released June 19th, 1990. The creators for this particular issue, at least this first story, Mark Gruenwald is the writer, been longtime writer. Penciler, Ron Lim. Inker, Danny Belande. Colorist, Steve Busolato. Letterer, Joe Rosen. And editor, Ralph Macchio. So those are the creators of this particular issue. Why are you looking at me, Bob?
You know, you know what I want, Rick. Just give it to me.
Every time I do Ralph Macchio, you want to hear Wax Off.
That's it. That's the stuff.
All right. Yeah. All right. We'll do it. Yeah. We'll do it. All right. So I gotta pull my issue from my handy dandy. Now you can make the noise like a squeaky noise because okay. It doesn't do it. Ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. My personal copy from back in 1990. It's me taking it out and then me carefully making sure the tape doesn't stick to the front of the cover. So I would also point out something. I think this is actually really interesting, at least to me anyway, is that, you know, this isn't the first time we've seen Cap and Daredevil fight on the cover, right? Over the years, there's been times, but the first time that I'm aware of is from Daredevil 43, which is right here, right?
Classic cover. Yeah.
Classic Jack Kirby cover. Now, this is the part that I find interesting. Okay. This one came out, release date, June 11th, 1968. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Cap 106. July 2nd, 1968.
What?
This is, they're like 3 weeks apart.
Yeah.
Do you think Kirby had a little bit of a artist block? And when he was doing the Cap America cover, he's like, wait a minute, what did I just do for Daredevil? Oh, here you go. Right?
Yeah.
Do they not
have
a big resemblance to each other?
Yeah. And just the synchronicity too. I mean, Cap goes wild in this issue facing off against Daredevil.
Exactly.
It's amazing. That's it. I'm going out and I'm getting another lottery ticket.
Oh, yeah. How many lottery tickets do you have, Bob?
Well, I didn't get any, but my wife, she informed me that she went out and bought, I don't know, out of $10, $20 worth, whatever it is. I don't know how much they are, but, you know, with the Powerball and the extra ball and whatever. And so she went and did that. And because it's, you know, it's getting to be quite a bit.
Yeah.
So,
how much?
It's over a billion. That's over a billion now.
Oh, well. So basically like 400 million after taxes.
That's it. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to have to make that work.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to have to stretch.
Do you ever have a conversation with your wife? Like, if we win the lottery, what are we going to do with the money?
Yeah. We've had that conversation.
It's always
fun,
right?
Yeah, it is. It's nice to fantasize a little bit about what you would do with that kind of cash.
Yeah. What is Casey going to do with it?
Well, you know, she's hot to trot now on affordable housing. You know, I live down here in Naples, Collier County, one of the richest counties in the United States. Over by the coast, but if you go inland, there's a lot of farm worker areas, and there's a really poor area where the farm workers live, and the housing is atrocious there. So she's been studying that issue a lot. She really wants to get involved in it. So she went out and bought those lottery tickets in hopes that she would strike it rich and she'd be able to solve this problem herself. So,
she's super sweet. That is awesome of your wife. Now, what would you do with that money, Bob?
Yeah, well, I do a lot of things, Rick, but I will tell you, there's enough to go around to do everything I want to do. But the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to hook up my brothers and sisters in the Captain America comic book fans group. I'm going to do something special for the members of that group, because that group has been so important to me over the last several years, that since you started it back in April 2021, right? Was it 2021?
20.
Was it 20? Yeah. Yeah. Right in the beginning of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just been such a sanctuary. So, so many great folks in that group. And so I want to do something special for them. Who knows?
Nice.
Who knows what
all right. Yeah. Well, then we're all rooting for you, Bob. If I can't win it, then I guess you can win it.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's get to Streets of Poison. I'm going to open up... opening page. Now, remember, every one of these issues ends with a cliffhanger. And do you remember the cliffhanger from the last one?
Yeah, I sure do. Diamondback was gunned down in the street, sacrificing herself to save Jameson. So
she tripped him because she saw like the little window coming down. you know, and a little muzzle coming out,
Indeed.
right? So we're looking at this opening splash page, and it is it definitely gets your interest, right? Because it is Diamondback. She's wearing her new incognito uniform, and she's wearing a trench coat and a fedora, and she is standing over a downed John Jameson, who looks unconscious, which doesn't make sense. She just tripped him. She didn't like knock him out, but whatever. And it, you see a car driving by and a machine gun firing, and several of them do hit her in the back. Captain America has been exposed to fumes of the new highly addictive designer drug ice, and it's causing him to act increasingly irrational. His two closest companions, Diamondback and John Jameson, have been scouring the mean streets of Manhattan, searching for him, hoping to force him to get treatment. But instead of Cap, they found a hail of bullets spewing out of a speeding car. And it makes a noise, Bob. And the title to this one is?
The Devil You Know.
And how's the rest of that saying go, Bob?
Versus the devil you don't?
Yeah, it's better the devil you know, right?
Yeah.
Cap's been exposed to this, and this highly addictive designer drug called ice. You know, that's tough too, you know, when you have an addiction. It's hard to kick those things. You know, I was addicted to the Hokey Pokey.
I'm glad you were able to turn yourself around.
Thank you. Never steal a man's punchline, Bob. Never steal a man's punchline. That's just wrong.
I'm sorry.
All right. Next page. So the car screeches away, and here's a fallen Diamondback with bullet holes in her jacket, laying over top of John. And he's like, Diamond, you little fool. What got into you, knocking me to the ground and throwing yourself into the line of fire? A half dozen bullet holes in your back, that's what? Huh? There's no blood. Those slugs on the ground, they're flattened. That new costume of hers must be lined with bulletproof Kevlar. Then she's not dead. Just knocked unconscious by the impact. Diamond, you hear me? It hurts. Like, take it easy, darling. Don't try to speak. Everything's going to be okay. I'm going to go inside that shop and see if anyone was hurt. I think the shop was the real target of the drive-by shooting. We just got in the way. Be right back. And he goes running, and he's thinking to himself, weird. Everybody keeps whispering about Diamondback's shady past. Then where in blazes did the heroic impulse to shield me from the bullets come from? She had no guarantee a stray bullet wouldn't hit her unprotected head. She risked her life to save mine. Lady, don't think I'm going to forget this. Ever. So we cut to the next page, and it says, at that moment, 30 blocks uptown, the Rhythm Room Social Club gets an unwelcome guest.
Rhythm is gonna get you.
Who is that?
What was her name? I can't remember that band's name now.
No?
Miami Heat, or what was it? The Heat Machine?
You're close here. Oh, you're so close.
I can't remember, but I do remember that song. And when I read this issue the other night, I couldn't get that earworm out of my head.
Yeah, it's Gloria Estefan.
There you go. Yeah.
And the Miami Sound Machine.
There it is. There it is. Yeah.
You there. Cut that noise. Now. That's better. The name's Captain America. And he's standing in the middle of the room. And there's dozens of that, you know, teens, early 20s, mid-20s, in a circle around him. I'm looking for Jerry Weiderman, also known as Jerkweed. I know he's one of the co-owners of this illegal fire trap, and he's here every night. So which one of you dancing fools is him? Quiet. I know he's here. I know you people know him. No one wants to rap, hmm? Such a big man, this Mr. Jerkweed is, hiding behind the miniskirts and dungarees of a pack of timid teenagers. I do believe Mr. Jerkweed is what you might call chicken. Okay, fine. I know how to coax him out of hiding. Here, chicky, chicky, chicky. Bok, 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 bok. Bok, 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 bok. And he's making a chicken sound, Bob.
Something on my list of things I never thought I'd see.
I know, right? This is crazy. And in fact, one of the guys there says, dude's gone crazed. Now, every time I see someone making like a chicken noise and maybe like a little kind of thing, I think of Arrested Development. Now, I know you've never watched the show, and I know I've always told you got to watch the show. Yeah. But there is this running gag where people in their family, when they call someone chicken, they do like the chicken thing, but yeah, they do it wrong. and so they think they're mocking someone, but they look ridiculous. So every time I see someone doing like a bok, 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 that's what I think. Yeah.
It just reminded me that I'd really like a Cadbury Easter egg.
Yeah. Well, it's that time of year, right?
Yeah. That little rabbit that does the chicken sound. Get it down.
And then we turn the page, and then there's a guy there, and he's pulling one of the kids in close to him and holds him in front of him and puts a gun to his temple. Now, what's that kid wearing? What kind of pants are those, Bob?
You know, I do see a lot of late 80s fashion attire.
Yeah,
and haircuts, right.
Right.
Among these the kids' clothes and hairs. And, you know, he's got the really narrow waisted pants. He's got pleats. They flare out around the hips, and they go a little bit narrow down toward the ankles. Mm-hmm. I had a pair or two of those in my time.
Didn't we all?
Yeah. Along with my parachute pants.
Can't touch this. Enough of that chicken, man. Drop that blinking shield of yours to the ground where the geek gets greased. And so Cap's been holding the shield on his left arm. Is that any way to talk about one of your paying customers, Mr. Jerkweed? For shame. Quit stalling, man. Drop that blinking thing. Or I swear to you, let's not swear, Mr. Jerkweed. Children present. And then these next three panels are actually kind of cool because they're all set up the same way. They're skinny, horizontal frame. So you can see Cap standing on one side. You see Jerkweed holding the hostage on the other side. There's a lot of space in between them. And Cap's just looking at him. And you see three different frames. So you see basically Cap picks up the shield in his right hand and he just holds it, you know, over his right shoulder, kind of like a 45-degree angle, right? And then the next one, you just see him barely move his arm and he just flings the shield. And then the third one, you see the shield go between the heads of the perpetrator and the hostage, right? And he's slicing off the front of the gun that's being held to, it's like a revolver, right? Now it's a snub nose.
Nicely done.
He says, and I just explained the action, but here's the dialogue that happens right before the action. So where do you want me to drop this? Behind you, man. You got to count of one. Do what he says, man. And Cap just throws it. And then it goes through and it does. He cuts off the thing. And then next thing you know, Cap is rushing up, grabs the guy, holds him up. Scum, I hate it when innocent life is threatened. You hear me? Cap's kind of flipped the switch there, right?
Sure has, yeah.
Had you quietly given yourself up to me, I'd have gone easy on you. But now you and I are going to have ourselves a long, serious, scary talk. And I say it scary like that because the letterer wrote scary in a kind of creepy font to signify there was like a different way of saying it, right?
Yeah.
Hey, let go, man. What are you? No, not the wind. And Cap picks him up and with his shield busts through the window. Now they are high up in a
like an old warehouse or something, right? Yeah.
And the guy yells, but Cap lands on his sky cycle, which was waiting there for him. And then he takes off in the sky cycle, but he's still holding the guy, with his right hand. Get comfortable, chump. We're going for a ride you're never going to forget for the rest of your ugly, meaningless life. We cut to the page, next page, and they're high, high up, and he's over the city, and he's holding the thug there, right? What's wrong with you, man? Captain America don't act like this. Don't you dare tell me how I'm supposed to act, scum. Sorry, man. Apology accepted. Now let's see. What we were going to talk about? I don't know. Well, I sure hope I think of it soon, because as strong as I am, Mr. Jerkweed, my arm is getting a little tired. Don't drop me, man. For any particular reason, I'll do anything you say. That's a good reason. Okay, I'll take you up on it. I'd like to know everything you know about a certain business associate of yours, a Mr. Fisk. Elsewhere, we cut to that car that did the drive-by shooting on Diamondback and Jameson, and they pull up to a kind of like an alleyway, and they're talking. They're all excited about what they did, right? Yo, Chucky, was we deaf or what? How many Cracker Jacks you think we cold smoked tonight? If I was a Cracker Jack,
it's a delightful caramel covered popcorn treat, Rick, with fries inside.
Oh, okay. Well, if you want to hear the Urban Dictionary version of that, you might want to go back to episode 179, where Bob does explain what Cracker Jack means and other levels, too.
I like the delightful treat better.
Well, one could say which one's delightful.
I guess so. Different strokes.
Mm. Oh, really?
Well, yeah.
Different strokes.
Yeah. What you talking about?
Bye-bye. Probably 5 each, Holmes. All right. That's 12 less Cracker Jacks pushing their junk on all streets. News for you, Joyride. Your algebra bites. Now, first of all, that was kind of funny. Yeah. He said, we did 5 each for 3 drive-bys, which, Bob, as we should all know, that's 15. And he goes, oh, that's 12 less Cracker Jacks. And then the other guy who's putting him down says your algebra is wrong.
Yeah. Stay in school, kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the message here.
Right.
And then they see a guy in a trench coat and a cap and, you know, just looks, you know, he's got bottles in his hand over by the garbage can. Hey, what do we got here? Some homeless knocking around our trash? You there. Go on. Beat it. Let me hoist him, Chucky. Come on, please. I was driving all night. I didn't get to chill anyone. Okay, but use your knife. Your piece is too noisy. And then this guy throws the 2 bottles, hitting the 2 front guys in the face, knocking them out. And then another guy goes to pull a gun from his jacket and the trash can lid goes into his neck. You see what that freak did? You're dead, man. You're smoked meat. And then the guy who said 3 drive-bys, probably 5 each, he's the one who's left standing. You move, big guy. Make one and you're dead. How about that? You aren't as dumb as you look. What do we have here? And he reaches into his jacket. Whew. Don't you know these things are dangerous? And it was a gun. And there's a guy that homeless person looks a little crazed. Next page. Okay, Chucky, you're my chauffeur tonight. You got a problem with that? And he points the gun at him. No, man. No problem. Slide in. We're going to take a little ride. Get to know each other a little better. Sound like fun to you? Yeah, whatever you say, man. A ground rule before we begin. I want you to keep both hands on the wheel at all times. You so much as try and scratch your nose, I'm going to see daylight through your ears. Dig? I dig you, man. Okay, Chucky, let's roll. Nice set of wheels. Stolen, huh? Not that I'm particular. Just making conversation. And then Chuck, he's just drenching in sweat right now, right? Like he's very, very nervous, obviously. Now then, according to some folks you know that you'll never see again, your management level in this new outfit distributing ice in this town. Personally, I don't care about management. I care about the money men who hire management. What you're going to do is make like a canary, if you know what I mean, or else singing soprano is going to be the least of your problems. And he points the gun right up to his head. I'll tell you what I know, man. So the next night, somewhere in the Little Italy district, there is a restaurant so exclusive that but a handful of people in New York even know it exists.
Applebee's.
No. Wilson Fisk is one of them. And when Mr. Fisk graces the establishment with his presence, all other customers are politely shown the door. Waiter, more potatoes. Right away, sir. I finally heard from Bullseye this morning, Mary. He comes to me be making progress in his investigation of the parties muscling their way into my narcotics trade. I'll believe that when I see it. If he can unearth anything my usual sources cannot, all the more power to him. In the meantime, he is out of the way. And then who comes busting into this restaurant room but Captain America? I hear the pasta primavera is overcooked here, Kingpin. What do you think? And then the two bodyguards that were sitting on either side of him stand up with their hands in their jacket to go pull something out, Bob. I don't know, maybe a pen and paper asking for an autograph. I don't know.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, boys. Give me an excuse. And he looks like Dirty Harry at this point, right?
He sure does, yeah.
And Kingpin puts his arms up to both guards. Remain seated. And then Cap comes walking over to where, to the left of the Kingpin where he's sitting, and grabs one of the guards by the shoulder. Not to contradict you, Kingpin, but I'd like to sit here. That is, if Guido here doesn't mind. And he just takes him and just throws him out of the chair down. And the guy, he's in a lot of pain. He's like, I think he just looked right at my shoulder. I'm told you're the man to see, Kingpin. It depends on what I'm to be seen about, Captain. The big drug war going on. The reign of terror in the streets. What's wrong, Kingpin? Can't you keep your troops in line anymore? And he takes Kingpin's plate, moves it over, and he starts eating it.
I do like that.
Whoa.
Yeah, with not a care.
Assuming a legitimate businessman such as myself knew what you were talking about, what makes you think that this is some sort of intramural squabble? Why does it not occur to you that this may be a turf war with outsiders encroaching upon insiders' territory? And Cap's just chomping away, right? And he's talking with his mouth full. And who might these outsiders be working for? Again, assuming I knew what you were talking about, why would I tell the likes of you? From what I gather of your financial affairs, it would be in your best interests for this madness to stop. I intend to stop it. I would not withhold such information from a staunch public defender like yourself. You have my word that I know nothing about who's behind this rash of senseless shootings. If, however, you should learn the identity of said parties, I would be indebted to you were to share this information with me. Somehow, the idea of the kingpin of crime owing me a favor doesn't sit well. Now, the whole time, Typhoid Mary is sitting across the table, and she's trying to do kind of her power, which is the ability to, you know, get guys to kind of fall in love with her. And she's thinking to herself, incredible, this brazen avenger resists my charms. Well, story, I can't stay for dessert. Bon appetit. Sir, should I let him go? And then just outside, we see Daredevil landing in front of Cap on the sidewalk. He is coming down from his cable. Hey, Cap, long time no see. That's funny. Can we talk? Daredevil. Cut to the next page, and we see John sitting bedside to a Diamondback who's laying there. And he's reading a newspaper. Which newspaper do you think it is, Bob?
The Daily Bugle, perhaps.
Yeah. Another drug shooting. My father's old rag is having a field day with all this. No mention of Diamond and me, at least. Oh! And Diamondback just sits up, you know, awake. John, how long was I out? Diamond? Almost 18 hours. Then it's night again. We have no time to lose. We've got to go out and find... Hold on there, pretty lady. Take a hot shower. See if your aches and pains will permit a full range of motion. Then we'll consider it. Okay? Okay. I may need a little help making it to the shower.
I'll help. Nope. I'm sorry. I got caught up in the story, Rick.
Oh, did you know? What kind of help do you think she needs, Bob?
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. It's hard to reach some spots.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then we cut somewhere in Brooklyn, and there's another warehouse-looking place, and there's a guy on a phone. Now look at the table that he has, Bob. That does not look like a very clean, pristine establishment.
No, it's really hard to, like, you know, do business properly when you can't even keep your squalid table, you know, in order.
Yeah. Like he's got a drink on the side with liquid just sitting there.
Paper. It looks like a paper airplane.
It does.
Yeah. What do you call a paper airplane that doesn't fly, Rick?
Paper?
Stationary.
Oh, the dad jokes are just flying today. Unlike the paper airplane. Harley? Yeah, this is Low Life. Say, you seen Ground Chuck? The big dope ain't checked in with me all over day. And then there's a little panel here with a muzzle being up to the temple of this guy. I can tell you where Chucky is. In fact, I can send you there if you'd like. And, ooh, that's a creepy looking panel of Bullseye.
It's maniacal.
Totally. He likes killing. All right. Now we're getting to the good stuff, Bob. We're getting to the cover, right? And it's Cap and Daredevil in Little Italy standing on the sidewalk. What the devil are you doing here? Looking for you. When we ran into each other upstate a few days ago, you seemed upset, overwrought. And when was that, Bob?
That was in Daredevil number 283, Rick.
True, you could say that, but you could also say it was in episode 180 of this podcast where we covered it panel by panel.
We did.
Since my return to the city, I've been hearing rumors of your increasingly reckless behavior. I suspect there's something the matter with you, friend. I've come to see you get help before you do something you'll regret. And he puts his hand on his chest. Your concern is touching, but I'm perfectly fine. In fact, I haven't felt this alive in years. So how about you take your hand off me and let me do my job? And he takes and he grabs Daredevil's wrist. And then in the next panel, Daredevil's thinking to himself, he's going to break it unless and he takes his left, which is holding the billy club, and he comes and he strikes Cap across the face, knocking him backwards. "Sorry, Cap, you didn't give me a lot of choice." "So the little devil wants to fight, eh? Then let's." And he takes his left, which is holding the shield, and goes for a head blow. "Whew, nearly took my head off. As if I needed any more evidence that Cap's gone nuts." And that's a cool panel with him flipping back like that.
Yeah.
Avoiding Cap's shield.
Indeed.
Next page. "Come back here, devil. Face me if you dare. Chicken." And Daredevil's just running away. "I came here to help him, not spar with him. Seems to me it's in both of our interests if I can avoid a pointless fight." "Real cute, Dee Dee. You accuse me of acting funny, while you're the one who wants to play follow the leader. Over this fence, there'll be plenty of room to maneuver, and with minimal risk to property damage. If worse comes to..." And then, this is a cool panel. We see, you know, he flipped over, he went over the fence, and then landed, and then Cap's on top of the fence, and he's on still on top of the fence, and he's throwing the shield. But we see from behind the radar sense coming up from Daredevil. And by the way, if you want to know about the history of Daredevil, also go to episode 180, because I kind of give a bio on Daredevil there. Radar sense, his shield. And he takes his right hand, who has a billy club in it, and he pokes the shield midair. You ever see someone do that with their finger on a Frisbee?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a cool Frisbee trick.
"Oh, so all you want to do is play Frisbee. Okay. Whoops. I never was very good at Frisbee." So he takes it and spins it on his billy club, and then goes in the wrong direction, away from Cap. That made Cap really angry. "The Avengers got to you, didn't they? They filled your head with lies about me. Sicked you on me. No, Cap, this is all my doing." Next page. And Cap's swinging at him. "Then it's the commission. Yeah, I'll bet you're their lapdog. Those sanctimonious bureaucrats. Who's the commission, Bob?"
Yeah, well, the commission at one point asked for Cap's shield and uniform back and gave it to John Walker. So
Right. Certainly
not fans of Cap, and Cap is certainly not fans of them.
"They have no authority over me. They were the ones who betrayed America's ideals, not me. Wait, don't tell me they want to make you the new Captain America. Cap, I'm telling you, I'm responsible for my own actions. Same as you. Stop acting paranoid." Whoa, had that connected? Cap's metabolism is so hard to read. The super soldier serum in him frustrates my hypersense. Cap's heartbeat and breathing don't telegraph his moves like they do with ordinary people. I'm not acting paranoid. I don't think there's going to be any reasoning with him. I'm going to have to do this the hard way. Take him down. Just hope I'm up to it. My recent trip to the netherworld has left me off-center, to say the least." Huh. When did that happen, Bob?
Well, apparently that happened in Daredevil 279 to 282, Rick.
Yeah, it happened right before the issue we covered. I think I mentioned about that, you know, Mephisto and all that. And this is a cool panel. Daredevil grabs the monkey bars ahead of him, on top of him. He pulls himself up, and with his left leg, he does a crescent kick, hitting Cap and knocking his head back. "Ah, got one good one in, but I'm not sharp. And against Cap, that could be fatal." But Cap grabs the ankle. "Got you on the downswing. Hope you enjoyed your lucky shot, Daredevil. That's all you're going to get." And he throws him, and he hits himself up against a slide. "Know something, Cap? Really wouldn't mind if you stopped calling me Devil. And I wouldn't mind if you grew a tail and hooves. I'm going to beat you senseless. Not if I beat you to it." And he hits him with the right cross. And then he goes for the left, but Cap catches it in his palm. "Not bloody likely. Blast. All that time upstate with sparring partners few and far between, I'm really off my game. Maybe if it wasn't such a good idea to get into a fight with one of the world's greatest combatants just now. And this time he gives him a kick, but Cap blocks it again with the feet. And while I can't seem to gear myself up to using whatever measures are necessary to take down Cap, he has no such and Cap, he misses a swing by Daredevil, and then he gives him an uppercut right into the solar plexus. This has gone on long enough. And then, ooh, Bob, we turn the page. And it's, what do they call it? The coup d'etat?
The coup de grace? Yeah, nice. Or,
yeah.
Coup de grace, yeah.
Yeah.
The killing blow.
And he, half page, a little over half page splash. And Cap is, because he hit Daredevil in the solar plexus, causing Daredevil's head to go down, he then punches the back of his head down to the ground. I've got important things to do, so do us both a favor and stay down, or I'm going to keep hammering you until you do. And of course, Daredevil's just down. Wise choice. Gotta. And Cap walks away. Gotta. Can't. Footsteps. Who? And walking up to where Cap was. Well, well, well. What have we here? Who is it, Bob?
Oh my goodness, Rick, it's Crossbones.
Dun, dun, dun. To be continued next issue, DD versus Crossbones. I got to come back for that one, Bob.
That might be worth doing.
All right. What are you thinking of this issue? What are you thinking of this story so far, the series?
Man, it's amping up, Rick. Just, you know, every issue we're seeing Cap become more extreme. I've said it previously, more like John Walker. I mean, even his appearance is starting to take on that look of that sort of crazed, overhyped aggression, you know?
Yeah.
And we see him do some crazy things. I mean, we see him drinking in this comic, right? He's sitting there with Wilson Fisk having a glass of wine, for crying out loud.
No, I didn't notice wine. I saw him slurping down some spaghetti.
Yeah, I no, we had a glass of wine in one hand, drinking a glass of wine. That's not something Cap does.
Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Yeah, this is fun. This is, you know, listen, anytime you see two heroes fight each other, it's always, you know, some sort of, what do they call those? Cliches, right?
Yeah.
You know, of, oh, no, there's a misunderstanding.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're on the same side. There was no misunderstanding here. Right. Cap's just on drugs,
yeah.
Right? And so he is acting irrationally, and he just took Daredevil down.
Right. But we also see, you know, Cap saying things that, you know, as we talked about last time, and in the previous episodes, we've talked about how sometimes when you're on a drug, alcohol or other sorts of drugs, sometimes that lowered inhibition causes you to say things that maybe you would have had the self-discipline not to to say publicly before. And so, you know, we hear him, you know, expressing paranoia about the Avengers and then turning their back on him. We hear him talking about the commission and his true feelings about the commission. So we're seeing a side of Steve Rogers here that you know we don't normally get to see.
Indeed, it is interesting. All right, Bob, you go first. What's your favorite panel?
Oh my gosh! Well, Rick, I got to go with those three panels on page four, the three horizontal panels where Cap just chucks that shield with a flip of his wrist.
Yeah, I was going to do the same thing for my favorite panel, but I couldn't because there's three of them and it's not a favorite panels.
Well, I'm going to go with the middle one then. So feel free to pick either of the other two.
The middle one is
the best, right? Because he's just using the wrist motion.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, beautiful. Hey, how about yourself?
I was going to say there was just using the wrist motion kind of thing. My favorite panel, I'm going to go with page 18. And I'm going to go with the last panel. So that's the one where Cap is going with the shield and going for Daredevil's head, but he falls backward and kind of flips backward. So you see the motion of the action happening there. And I just like that. I mean, it almost is reminiscent of a David Mazzucchelli Daredevil, you know, the art style of how he's doing that. And so it was, I don't know. There was something about this that I was like, that's really cool. So that's my favorite panel.
I like that. I like that. How about t-shirt? T-shirt worthy? You got something t-shirt worthy in there?
I'm going to go with page 11 when Cap walks into the restaurant and the panel, the Clint Eastwood panel, where he's just going, "Go ahead, boys, give me an excuse." And he's got that close-up look on his face of kind of like I don't know, not a hero, that's for sure.
Right.
But that would look cool on a t-shirt,
That
right?
would, that
You
would.
know, go ahead, boys, give me an excuse, and it's a badass cap
I was that was actually my first choice, Rick.
for
So,
t-shirt.
yep, for t-shirt, absolutely.
That's two episodes in a row, or that I've taken one from you after
Yeah.
180 episodes of never doing it. I've now gotten you twice in the last few weeks.
Now maybe we're in sync now.
It's only taken us 3.5 years.
Yeah, people's tastes change. Maybe you're impacting my taste in t-shirt panels.
Could be.
Yeah.
So what's your pivot? What are you going
Well,
to for a
I'm
t-shirt?
gonna go. I'm gonna go with that last page of the story, Rick. That top half page splash with Cap taking down Daredevil, and he says, "I've got important things to do. So do us both a favor and stay down, or I'm going to keep hammering you until you do."
You want to walk around with that on your t-shirt? That
I'm doing
just
it. I
seems
know.
wrong,
It does
right?
seem a little wrong,
It
but it's a pretty cool, you know,
is a cool
the
image.
dialogue is cool, and it's a look at Cap that we don't normally get to see. So
All right,
but it's
what are you putting in your time capsule?
I thought long and hard about this. And there's one thing that sort of jumped out at me that I couldn't stop thinking about, and that's Diamondback's trench coat. And I'll tell you why, because, being a child of the early 80s, at least late 70s, early 80s, being in college in the late 80s, I know that trench coats were a bit of a thing.
I had one.
Right? Did you have one?
Sure.
Okay. So, I think about Breakfast Club, remember the Judd Nelson
Oh,
character,
totally.
John Bender, that end scene where he's walking across the football field, and he raises his fist in the air. He's wearing a trench coat, right? I think about the Sylvester Stallone movie, Cobra. Not the most well-known Sylvester Stallone movie. Can you feel the heat? Yeah. He was in that one. Also, trench coat, right? I think about that one. And then I think about, Heathers. Do you remember Heathers with Christian Slater?
He was doing
Winona
his best
Ryder?
Jack Nicholson, yeah.
Yeah, wearing a trench coat. So it was a real fashion statement that, really started in the late 80s and carried through, almost peaked by the time The Matrix came out in 1999. So I was not surprised, that Diamondback has her Kevlar coated trench coat
Well, I think it was
in.
her uniform was Kevlar coated, right? Because the trench coat had holes in it.
Did it? Oh, I thought maybe the trench coat did. Well, in any case, the trench coat, that was the fashion thing to do in a lot of films and TV and movies back then. I guess movies and films are the same thing. So I have to go with the trench coat because it was part and parcel of the late 80s, early
All
90s.
right. I can dig it.
Yeah. What about yourself?
I'm gonna go with page three, and I'm gonna go with the last panel. And that is the one where Captain America is walking around going bawk, 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 bawk,
Yeah.
bawk. That is something that has never happened before. I has hadn't hasn't happened since. It is a one of a kind time in space. That is going into my time capsule.
Excellent. Bravo. Bravo. Yes.
All right,
Indeed.
Bob. It's been good. So next episode, you know what? We've been spending so much time in the 1990 range. We've been spending so much time, you know, because we did the Daredevil. We're doing this. We've been doing recent stuff, right? Because we did the recap of the current volume of Captain America, the J. Michael Straczynski run. We're doing Captain America with the Avengers Twilight. So 90 degrees. We got to take a step back. Let's go back to 1968. In fact, Bob, we're going to go back to Captain America 106, where Cap goes wild the first time.
Yeah, all right. Right? That's exciting.
Right? We should do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do that.
Little Stan Lee, Jack Kirby action?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, it's about time.
All right. So we're going to do that next episode, which is going to be episode 184. And then 185, Bob, special episode. That is when you and I and some remains to be seen who, members who are going to join us for the Captain America Fantasy Draft.
All right.
Well, you look so excited.
I am. I've been thinking about this, and I got to give it some more thought. I mean, it's going to take some time for me to come up with some super obscure characters that are just going to like stymie your intent for the whole thing. But it's so much fun.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. That'll be fun in 2 weeks. We'll come back and do that.
All right.
Bob, all right. Have a great week. Always been fun wrapping Cap with you.
It has. I can't wait till the next time we get together.
All right. He's Bob Lucius. I'm Rick Verbanis. And you, please hit the like and subscribe button on YouTube or give us a 5-star review on Apple. We really do appreciate that. So until next time, thank you for listening to the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast.